If you have any other concerns or praises that you want prayed for, you will see in the pew in front of you, there is a small white slip of paper that you can fill out, and there's a basket in the back where you can drop any concerns that you didn't want to share aloud. You can share those with our prayer group, and those will be prayed over if you wish. Well, this morning, our scripture lesson comes from the book of Romans, chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. Hear the word of the Lord. We who are powerful need to be patient with the weakness of those who don't have power and not please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good in order to build them up. Christ didn't please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insulted you fell on me. Whatever was written in the past was written for our instruction, so that we could have hope through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures. May the God of endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude towards each other, similar to Christ Jesus' attitude. That way you can glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ together with one voice. So welcome each other in the same way that Christ also welcomed you for God's glory. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation in every heart be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I really like to cook. Now, looking at me, I'm sure you're surprised that I'm the kind of guy who likes food. But honestly, I promise, I do like to eat, I do like to cook. It's not something that I'm great at, but it's something I enjoy. I like to try new dishes, try new things, you know, make something new, something different, something from a different culture. I like to be able to be creative and do something different at a potluck and maybe give people a chance to eat something that we haven't eaten before. Or when I entertain guests, I like to kind of go over the top and do something special. And I feel like it's a way that I can show people that I care, that they've come to visit me, that I appreciate their visit, and I'm doing something special for them. Well, I remember a time about 4 years ago, my mother-in-law and my sister-in-law came to stay with us and came for a visit. And so Jody and took her mom and her sister and went to Jody's church so that they could hear her preach. And afterwards, we came back home for Sunday lunch, and I decided to try and do something special for them because they were staying with us. And so I marinated some shrimp and some chicken while we were at church. I left it, and then I cut up some sweet potato and some onion and zucchini, and I ended up grilling up these kebabs with all this stuff. And I made this big serving of couscous, because I'd seen on Food Network that in the Mideast, where kebabs were from, couscous is what got served. I thought, well, that's neat. I don't know that I've had couscous, but we're going to try it and make it. And I put it out there and was pretty excited about this meal with all these different things. But several of the kebabs didn't get eaten. And almost all of the couscous stayed in the large serving bowl. And I was a little bit hurt. And I talked later with Jody that my feelings were kind of hurt that her family didn't seem interested in all this work that I had done, that I tried really hard, and they just didn't seem to appreciate it. Well, this actually has happened several times when her family's come to visit with me. I've tried to do something, and you know, they don't seem to think it's cooked the right way, or they like it the way they've always. And I'm just a little, you know, I always get a little depressed with this. And, you know, her sister visits now, or her dad, and I try to find something creative and some new technique that I just learned about. But then I end up being kind of the only one who eats it, and they kind of pick around and end up having a bowl of cereal later. And I'm like, okay. You know, that it's tough when you try and do something and you don't feel appreciated trying to be a good host. You know, I'm trying to do the right thing and it just doesn't work out. It's not her family's not the only time that this has happened to me. Back when I was doing youth ministry down the road at Wesley Memorial, I always signed our youth up to host the Sunday night meal for the Interfaith Hospitality Network with these families that would come stay in the church, and I wanted our youth to be a part of it. So we would cook that first meal for them. And I remember us really enjoying that, and the kids liked a chance to get in the kitchen, and some of them had never cooked before, so we tried to find stuff that they'd enjoy making. And I remember we made tacos one night, and so they're grilling up the taco meat and adding seasonings, and they're making refried beans and making rice and warming up tortillas and getting this great meal, and we've got kids chopping lettuce and dicing tomatoes. And everything went really well, except that the families that came and stayed with us, they just didn't really eat a whole lot of the tacos. Now, for our teenagers, that was great because they got to really go to town on those tacos. But I was a little disappointed that these families, you know, tacos weren't their thing, I guess. And so I wasn't real sure what to make of it. But as I talked with some people about the families that were coming and what they, who they were and where they're coming from, I realized that a lot of them had little bitty kids. Small little toddlers, and that, you know, maybe toddlers weren't really looking for some spicy beef tacos and beans and rice. And I was able to kind of start talking with the other leaders in the group, and we decided we'd kind of change our menu and do a real kid-friendly menu. And so instead of doing Mexican food when they came to visit, we would make chicken nuggets. And we'd do Kraft mac and cheese, sometimes mashed potatoes or green beans, and lots of ketchup out. And the kids really gobbled it up. They really started to enjoy it a lot more than they ever did when we were doing fancier things. And what I learned is we had to stop thinking about what was fun for us to eat and fun for us to make and start thinking about what our guests would enjoy. And this is a lesson that I'm slowly beginning to learn with my in-laws. You know, I've told Jody that the next time her sister comes to stay, I'm promising that I will not be preparing a balsamic glazed tilapia for her. And that instead, we will try to make a hamburger or maybe order a pizza. Because, you know, she's 14 and that's probably what she wants. And I guess that's what being a good host is, right? It's making a place for your guests. Doing the little things to make them feel at home, to feel cared for. And when I made those fancy meals for my in-laws, I thought that I was saying, hey, look what I've done for you, you're welcome here. But perhaps what I was really saying was, hey, look what I can do. Look what I can make. Look what thing I've learned. Look how I can be a good host and be creative. When all they really wanted was a familiar meal to feel at home. See, to practice hospitality is to step back. It's to allow someone else to come in and have their space. I know that to welcome my sister-in-law, this 14-year-old girl, is to do some small, specific things to create a space for her. That means having a room that she can go in when she gets to our house, where she can close the door and stay in there the entire time of her visit, texting on her phone, and never once having to speak to me. That is what she really wants. And while it may not be glorious for me, that's what I have to do if I want to be a good host, is allow her a place where she can feel at home, texting her friends from her bedroom without her uncle saying, how was school? What have you learned? How's this? How's that? Who are your friends? She just needs a place where she can feel at home. Welcoming in a visitor is about showing humility. It's about paying attention to their needs and preferences and putting them first. Because wasn't that the attitude of Christ? In Philippians, you can read that Paul says to have the same mind as Christ, who though he was equal with God, he didn't exploit that. He emptied himself and he humbled himself as a servant. The way I tried to entertain for my in-laws was not self-emptying. It was self-promoting. Look at how well I host. I was not making a place for them to feel welcome. I was making a place for me to be a good host. Christ's attitude was different. I hope that I'm getting closer. I hope that God's Spirit can draw me closer to that attitude, that I can change, that just like the apostles were changed, my heart can be changed. The disciples had to learn new languages on Pentecost. They were there gathered around people from all across the world, and so the Spirit came upon them, and all of a sudden they could speak new languages, things they'd never said before, things they'd never done before, because the Spirit needed those guests in Jerusalem to feel welcome. And so they had to hear the gospel in their own tongue. The Spirit had to move the apostles. They were up in a room gathered together with the door locked, but the Spirit burst in and pushed them out of their comfort zone, out into the streets where they could meet new people. They proclaimed the gospel in new places and in new ways at the Spirit's prompting, so that people would feel welcomed, so that they could hear that they too were invited to be a part of God's family. But what does hospitality look like here? What does it look like at this church? You know, for 2 weeks we've been talking about how Jesus wants his church to reach out to the lost. We've talked about why people need Jesus, why they need the church, and why they might need this church. I hope that you are going out and inviting people to come to this place, that you might tell them that this is a place where they can experience God, where they can be welcomed into God's home. So this morning, the first thing I did is I tried to introduce myself as Gary Ife, as the pastor here. And most of the people here thought, duh, I know that. He's been here for a year. Well, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to our guests. In some weeks, I'm going to be talking and there won't be any guests here. And I will still do it because I want people to know that when a guest walks in, we expect them. We've been saving a place for them. We've been praying for them to come and saving and making a place for them. So I want to be in the habit of introducing myself so that I'm not taken by surprise that someone might actually show up at a church. No. This is what we expect. This is what we're doing, is creating a space for people. So I'm going to keep introducing myself at the beginning of services, because I know that you're going to be out there inviting your friends and your family and your coworkers. You're going to be sharing the good news, and guests are going to be coming here. This needs to be a place where people know they can come and feel welcome. And every time a visitor comes in through those doors, it is an opportunity for us to give them what they need. Now, sometimes we think the opportunity is the other way around. We see someone walk in and we say, I bet they can sing in the choir. We need someone in the, I bet they might be able to lead a Bible study. Huh? You want to lead a Bible? Hey, thanks for coming. Do you want to lead a group? Do you want to be on a committee? Do you want to play piano while our piano player's gone? That would be really, you know, we think someone showing up here is an answer to our prayers. But maybe them showing up here should be an answer to their prayers. Perhaps the God we serve has something for them and not for us. Now, I'm not saying that people that come here can't help and benefit our ministries. They surely can. But if we claim to be Christians, those who follow Christ, then we have to believe deep in our soul that we have something that happens here that will cure the world. That the Jesus that we serve is the answer to every longing in every heart. That when a person shows up here, we have a blessing to offer them, a connection to their Creator.
we have a chance
to welcome people just as Christ welcomed us. So how do we do that? How do we let people know that they are welcome here? Well, first, we take a step back from ourselves. We humble ourselves as Christ humbled himself.
Now, most of us, we like to sit right along the aisle, don't you? That's the best seat. Maybe you can put your arm up. You can make a quick exit. That's the best seat in the house, right? Is right on the aisle. You don't have to climb in over someone and get stuck in the middle and then have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the sermon. And everyone knows the preacher up here preaches a long time and is not going to shut up for anything. And you're stuck in the middle. So the best seat is on the aisle. Maybe to welcome our guests, we make sure that we leave plenty of seats on the aisle open for them so that they can slip in and sit along the aisle and not have to disturb anyone. Maybe it means that we write out the words to the Lord's Prayer and put them on our screen and put them in our bulletin, even though we know it by heart. But perhaps someone is here who doesn't know it as well as we do and might benefit from being able to say those words with us. Maybe it means that if someone gives up their Sunday morning to come and worship God with us, that one of us should give up our Sunday afternoon to go visit them and thank them for coming and being a part of our worship. Maybe it means reserving some spots in our parking lot for the folks who are first-time visitors so that they know, hey, we've saved this place just for you. We've been expecting you, and we're so glad you arrived today. Hospitality means putting effort in. It means doing the little details, caring about the little stuff. It means offering to go get someone a cup of coffee when they walk in. You know, wouldn't it be great if time and time again we had a bunch of visitors in here spilling coffee on the pews and on the carpet? Wouldn't it be great if our visitors were always messing up our carpet? Or would you rather have clean carpet? See, hospitality is about giving up yourself to make a space for someone else. The very first act of hospitality ever was from God. See, in the beginning, nothing existed but God. Everywhere, in every direction, was God's fullness. There was no empty space. And so God decided to create. And he opened up himself to make a space for the universe, to create the world, to create light and dark and stars and the earth. And he removed himself to make it in that space so that we could be here. If we're going to invite people to come to know Jesus, to follow him as we follow him, to journey with us, then we have to make a space for them. We must do the small, little things so that when they show up, they know that we've been praying for you. We've been praying for you to come, and we're so glad you're here. We've made this space just for you. We're not surprised when visitors show up, because we know that God is the answer to every desire in the human heart. People will come to hear this good news if they would just be told it's here. And just like Jesus humbled himself so that he could make a space for us and welcome us into his family, we too must humble ourselves and make a space for others and welcome them into our family. So welcome each other in the same way that Christ also welcomed you for God's glory. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I would ask at this time if you would please stand to sing with us our hymn of invitation. Again, it's number 64 in the red hymnal, Holy, Holy, Holy. Thank you.
You may be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we're initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift offered to us without price. And through confirmation and through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. I present Zachary Mills for confirmation. Zachary, I'm going to ask you some questions now. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin?
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all people of all nations, races, and ages? Awesome. According to the grace given to you, will you remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in the world?
I will.
Awesome. I'm now going to ask you, church, as He is making vows, to make vows with us that you'll see on the screen before you. So do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this person now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround Zachary with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in his trust of God, be found faithful in his service to others. We will pray for him that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Well, let us join together. Please stand. And let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Church, do you believe in God the Father?
I believe
in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. He ascended. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. You may be seated. Zachary, I want you to kneel right here. Like you're kneeling at the altar. Go ahead and kneel. I'm going to invite Zachary's parents and his godfather to come forward to lay hands on him as we confirm his faith. Zachary, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. And the whole church said, Amen. 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 Thank you all. I'm going to ask Zachary a couple more questions. As a member of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries?
I will.
And as a member of this congregation, these people here, Will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness?
I will.
I believe it. And now you, church, as members of this congregation, I ask you, members of the household of God, I commend Zachary Mills to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to fully participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen. Y'all may be seated. Not you. We're going to make a few announcements, and then you're going to come and you're going to stay right here so that all these people can come and give you a big hug to welcome you in, all right? So you just stay right here, and they'll be up here in just a minute, okay? Did y'all hear that? When we get done, I want y'all to come welcome your new brother and sister, your full member of this church, and congratulate him and welcome him into this family as a full member. But before we finish, we are so excited about Zachary's confirmation on this day of Pentecost. And we celebrate that. But there are so many ways that, like Zachary, you can put your faith into action. You can step out on your faith and show us what you believe. Things that are coming up this week. We have a Bible study tonight at 4 o'clock as we dig deeper into how we can reach out to our community. I would encourage you to come to that Bible study at 4. There's a women's Bible study at East Pine Grove at 9:30 on Tuesdays. No? Well, you missed your chance then. Teach y'all for slacking. We'll have to wait till they get that started up again. But there still are ways to be involved. We are collecting food buckets to send to Liberia. You can see there should be a little thing in your bulletin with a list of all the supplies that go into those buckets. And if you bring those supplies, we'll provide a bucket to send it. So please do that and sign up to help with that. Also, on Saturday, June 1st, we're going to have a family fun day out by the lake. We're going to have barbecue, food games, and a lot of fun, and a hayride for the kids. So that's June 1st at 4. We invite all of you to be a part of that. And if you have a friend that might like to come, invite your friend and bring them along. Please continue to pray for VBS, which is coming up quicker than you think. And pray for Betty as she kind of gets the rest of us stragglers organized to help with that. But we are thankful for that. I believe those are the announcements that we have for this week. So hear this benediction and then come and welcome your brother Zachary. The God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Go and serve the Lord. Amen.